Open with me to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Reading the book of Joshua this week and seeing God's faithfulness to a young nation, and as he's leading them into the promised land, and he's leading them into something they've never done before, which is actually have their own place, a nation to call their own. But it's not easy, and it's also not without difficulty. And Joshua is doesn't float in there without any challenges. But if you read the chapter or read the book, you see in chapter 3, the very end of chapter 3, Joshua meets somebody on the road. He meets a man, and this guy has a sword drawn. And he, you know, Joshua is not sure. He says, "Are you for me or are you against me? For us or against us?" And the answer from the man was that, "I am neither for you and I am not against you either." And, you know, have you ever gotten an answer like that? It's like a politician's answer, isn't it? Yeah. "Who are you for?" "I'm not for you, but I'm not for them. I'm for you and I'm for them." I'm like, okay, still not sure what your answer is. But Christ answers him here beyond. He said, "I'm not here to fight with you and I'm not here to fight against you, but actually I have come as the captain of the host, that I have come to fight for you and I have come to be your representative on the battlefield and to be the one who is fighting in front of you." So with that revelation, with that assurance from God, Joseph then leads these people into the promised land. And we know in chapter 6, they have Jericho. Jericho falls, and the walls go down. Whoop, Rahab is saved. A beautiful story. And then her family, and then her lineage, and she's in this line. And then we see in chapter 7 that Joshua gets a little presumptuous, where they are facing Ai, and he sends out a couple scouts, and he says, "Go check out Ai." And they come back, they say, "Don't even get everybody ready. Don't even tell the soldiers to all get their sandals on. Just send 3,000, we'll take it, no problem." And you see, one thing Joshua did not do in that chapter is that he didn't pray. He didn't consult God. And then we see that they lose. 36 men from the army of Israel are killed, and they run, and they turn, and they run, and they're embarrassed. But the reason is sin. The reason is that Achan had taken something from Jericho that he was not supposed to take. He took some Babylonian garments, it said, like a pair of skinny jeans. And he took them and he buried them under his tent. So he saw some gold and some silver and some Babylonian garments. And he took them and he hid them in his tent. And he said he put it inside of his own stuff, in with his own stuff. And because of that, the entire nation of Israel is impacted and they are affected and they cannot fight. Also, Joshua doesn't consult God. If he had consulted God in chapter 7, maybe he would have said, "Listen, first you need to take care of this sin." The sin is taken care of, and then the sin is dealt with Achan. It's, you know, he's done. His family's done. Everything he owns is gone. And then God says, "Okay, now you can go against Ai, but do it this way." And Joshua, in prayer, hears this from the Lord. And there's a great battle plan. It's an amazing battle plan. I mean, he's using Ai's pride against them, right? He is using Israel's previous defeat to their advantage. There's so much that goes into it, and we see that there's some maybe 40,000 troops involved in this battle. So if you think the first time they went up against Ai, he said, "Bring 3,000 troops." So they only have 3,000 go against the first time. So when Ai sees them coming again in this small number, they say, "Okay, no problem." But little do they know that behind them on the other side, there was 30,000 soldiers from Israel back behind the city. And then there's another 5,000 waiting. So when Joshua goes up against them, and he draws them out of the city, and he turns and runs like he's retreating. And he pulls them out of the city, and the whole city of Ai gets fired up. They get excited. They say, "Let's go, everybody." It says every man in the city goes. They got shovels and pitchforks and tweezers and whatever. They're going after Israel. They smell blood in the water. And just as they go out, these 30,000 men come from behind the city and put it on fire. And then Ai turns around. They try to get back to the city, but then they're surrounded, and the victory is there. But look at this in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 18. This is when they are going. This is, it's happening. Where in verse 17 it says, "There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel. All the men, they all came out. They went after Israel so that they left the city open and pursued Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Stretch out your spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand.' And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand towards the city." So what a great picture, right? We need a spear. Right? We have Joshua, and he has a spear in his hand, or a drumstick. Okay, drumstick will work. Joshua has a spear in his hand, and God says during the middle of the battle, He said, "Stretch out your hand towards Ai." And that there is a direction, there is a purpose, and there is a fight happening. And Joshua's spear lifted towards Ai has an impact. When the other guys see it, or I don't know if they actually see it, but God prompts them as Joshua does this, that the 30,000 men come in and they take the city. And then they have this great victory. Look at verse 25. "So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai." Okay? What are we talking about here? We're talking about a nation going into the land that is promised to them, and they are fighting the battles, and they are removing the people that God has told them to remove. We, as believers, have been changed. And we have crossed into a new life, and we are living with God in a new identity and in a new way. And He has called us in the same way to engage with the things in our heart and to remove them and to get them out. Just like in chapter 7 when Achan had sin. Achan, there's sin in the camp of Israel, and it can't be, because we are not effective when there is sin in the camp. We are not as powerful as we can be when there's sin in the camp. The sin is removed, and then God moves Israel against Ai, and there is victory. God is calling us to get over sin and to overcome sin in our life. He's not calling us to simply worship Him. He has called us to worship Him. He hasn't called us simply to enjoy our salvation, although we are called to enjoy it. But He has called us to depend on Him and to lean on Him and expect Him to work in our lives. In a sense, He has told us also, lift up the spear that is in your hand and lift it up against the things that are in your heart. And we could talk about the things that are our heart. There is lust, right? Lust. There it is. Boom. That's the big one. Lust. What is lust? Lust, we think of it sensually. We think of it that there is the sexual side of it, and there is. But also, we could define it as anything that wraps itself around my heart, and anything that could control my emotions and can control my actions and can control me in the sense that it is taking the place of God. I want it. You could lust after a car. You could lust after a sandwich. God help you. I've done it. Guilty. Guilty. Right. But what if it is there, what do we do? Do we just submit to it? Do we resign to it? Do we say, well, I guess it's here to stay? I have fought against it. I have tried. I have tried with everything that is in me, and I cannot overcome it. So, it is what it is. Or do I lift up the spear that is in my hand, and do I depend on God and in obedience to Him, lift it up and point it towards it and not draw back my hand until I find victory? Let's do it. Let's go. Let's take this word, let's take these promises, and let's point them at the little foxes, and let's point them at the little things in my heart that would divide me from righteousness, and let's pursue them with like a holy fervor that would drive me in victory. Because Joshua here is not working towards something. He is not saying, okay, if I get this victory, then I will be. But Joshua here is understanding who he is in the plan of God. That God had not spared anything, and he revealed a lot to him. And he said to him, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And then he meets him on the road there in chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. He meets him on the road with his sword drawn. And he doesn't say, you better shape up, Joshua, or I'm going to cut you to pieces. And he doesn't say, I'm putting my strength on their side. But he said, I am you. I am the one who is fighting before you. Will you follow me into this and will you go with me? So when Joshua is lifting up his spear against Ai, and he does not draw his hand back, it is not out of works, it is not out of legalistic ideas, but it is out of an understanding of who God is, what the grace of God can do in my life, and what obedience to the promises of God can do to my sin. I love that verse 26. Joshua did not draw back his hand. He did not draw back his hand. Boom. Drumstick. Out straight. He did not draw back his hand. We do not draw back our hand from holding on to and holding out the promises of God in our life. He is faithful. He is faithful that He is the one who will do the work. He is the one who has done the work. He is the one that is drawing us to confidence in Him. He's not drawing us to works. He's not drawing us to our understanding of Him. But He has revealed Himself, and He says, this is who I am. This is what I have said. And if you will follow me, you will find victory. So we could say that Joshua had two things that fueled his position, and it was this, that he knew who God is. He knew who God is. Do we know who God is? I like it that he did it. I don't say, I didn't say he knew who God was, because God hasn't changed since this point. And just as God was with Moses, He's with Joshua, and just as God was with Joshua, God is with me. Joshua knew who God is. Do I know who God is? He is the one that has come down to save me. He is full of grace and mercy. He is abundant in mercy, forgiving sin. He is the one who came all the way down here. He is the one who took on flesh and blood so that He could take on my sin. So that He could change me, so that He could lead me across the Jordan River and into a life with Him. But also, He is the one who has said, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He is the one that John said in 1 John 1:9, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh no, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. In 1 John 2, He says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Do you know this one? Do you know Him? And do you know Him that way? That He didn't come to condemn us in John 3:17, but He came to save us, and He came to deliver us. And He came to lead us in an understanding of His truth. But then number two, Joshua knew what God said. Joshua 1:8, don't let this word depart from your mouth. Don't let it depart from your heart, and don't let it depart from your meditation, that you will meditate on it day and night. Do we know the words of God? Do we depend on the word of God? When Joshua is told to reach out the spear and to not draw his hand back, what is he depending on? He's depending on the nature of God, but then he's also depending on the word of God. And when I depend on the word of God, there is a power in it, and I stretch my hand out to him. In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham says that he reached out his hand to the Most High God, the Creator of heaven and earth. Do we know what God has said? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Don't draw your hand back. Don't draw your hand back. It's not talking about a loss of salvation. It's not talking about that. But it's talking about being engaged with the power of God and allowing Him to draw you by faith. When it doesn't seem reasonable, when it doesn't seem like it's the best idea, it doesn't matter. Don't draw your hand back. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Ooh, I love that. Without wavering. Have you ever wavered or waffled? Yes. Right. But how can we hold fast our confession, and how can we not waver? For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Just like Joshua understood this, that he who promised was faithful. That he knew the man that he met in Joshua chapter 5 was not just bringing a message, that he was not just delivering something from somebody else, like a courier who was disconnected from the promise. But he who promised is faithful. And 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who called you, it will also do it. Faithful is he who called you, and he will also do it. That in the promises of God and in the work of God, there is no disconnection. That God does not send somebody else. You could think, there's a funny comedian does a funny skit about this, but I can't remember it, and I would probably butcher it. But anyway, imagine if Christ came to us and he did his work on the cross, and then he came back and he said, okay, some other guy's going to show up, right? He's going to be wearing a poncho, and he'll have a hat on with a cross on it. Follow him, right? He'll help you. Like, imagine if Christ came and did this work, and then he left, and then left somebody else to fulfill the promises, or some group of people, or some human experience to fulfill these things. But instead, it says, faithful, the one who promised is faithful, and the one who called me will do it. Just like Joshua met Christ on the road in Joshua 5, and he says, I am the captain of the host. I am the one who is fighting for you. I am the one. Follow me. And don't draw back your hand. Experience can throw us for a loop in this. Right? My experience can affect me. Like I said, our foundation is who is God and what has God said. That is, we always go back to those things. Well, who is God? What has God said? Joshua here is going up against Ai. What had happened before? There's history here, right? What had happened the last time they went up against Ai? 36 of their brothers were killed. They got turned around in defeat, and they were embarrassed. There is history there. There has been defeat in my past. And if I approach the next obstacle in my life based on the defeat that is in my past, how will that impact me? I would say it could negatively impact me. Right? Sentimentality can negatively impact me. My care for this world can negatively impact me. It's true that there is sin in my past. It's true that I have failed in things. But when God has called me to move forward, I don't move forward based on my failure. I don't even move forward based on my success, but I move forward based on who God is. I move forward based on what He has said, and I don't draw my hand back from those two things. The faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of His Word, and the amazing promises that are written there, because faithful, He who promised is faithful. And it says also in 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, though I am faithless, what? He abides faithful. That's a beautiful verse. That's so encouraging. That verse does not encourage me to be faithless, but that verse encourages me in the faithfulness of God, that I have something greater. Don't look at the failure. Don't look at the defeat that was in Ai previously. But instead, look at Him leading you in a new way, and don't draw your hand back to consider smaller things. God is faithful. We have amazing testimonies in our body here. We have amazing testimonies in other believers we meet in different places, the testimonies of the faithfulness of God. Mike Fuse has been emailing back and forth with Pastor Emil Kasimba in Lubumbashi, Congo this week, and it's amazing to see the correspondence and to see the faith of this man, Pastor Emil. We love Pastor Emil. Remember, Pastor Emil Kasimba in Lubumbashi, Congo. He's a missionary that we support. Right? Monthly, we send him some money. I don't remember how much. I could find that out pretty easily. But pray for him. Pray for him. The Ebola is disappearing in the Congo. There is unrest. You know, it's not a peaceful place. But he is there ministering the grace of God to people. And he is not drawing his hand back. He knows who God is. He knows what God's Word says. And he is not drawing his hand back. So what happens here? Joshua did not draw his hand back, with which he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable in your flesh. Don't reward yourself with liberty. Right? In a sense, I mean, you know, you have the idea. It's like, I went to the gym today, so it's fine if I eat a half a gallon of ice cream tonight. Right? I deserve it. Right? That's not a good thing. Spiritually, we don't want to think that way either. I don't want to put the spear down. I don't want to draw my hand back because there was victory. Pedro could say, well, I kind of killed it in worship today, so, you know, I think I'll just kick back tonight, let my mind go wherever it wants to. That happens. It's happened. But don't draw your hand back. If you have finished something that God has called you to do, continue in it. If He says, do this mission, do this outreach, preach this message, preach it with all the fervor that you have, all the fire in your heart, but don't put the spear down when you're done. Continue. Continue. What is the next thing God has called you to do? What's the next thing He is calling you into? Be ready. Be prepared. Don't put the spear down. Don't put your hand down, because when our guard is down, there's somebody. There's a roaring lion, and he's seeking, right? He's waiting to see the spear drop a little bit, and he's going to pounce. But instead, we hold out the spear, and knowing who God is, knowing what God has said, and we continue by faith. It's amazing to think that we could hear testimonies this year of victory over sin. Let's go to prayer. Let's take this time that we have right now and let's really consider, is God calling me? Is God drawing me to repentance? Is He putting something on my heart? And I could repent. And I could give that thing to God. And could it be that coming out of this or in the next year, it's not easy, right? It's not easy. Like, there are times where I want to put the spear down, where the sin seems too big for me. That I want to put it down and I want to stop and I want to relent. I want to give in, but hold it up not by your own strength, but by the grace of God, knowing who He is, knowing what He has said. Depending on the verse that faithful is He who called you, He will do it. Depending on the verse in Philippians 1:6 that says that He will complete the thing that He has started. depend on the verse where it says in John 16:33 that in this world you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Find a verse, find a promise, and lean on it, and allow it to hold your hand up and pursue the thing that God has put in your life. And overcome sin. Don't let it, don't give it a place to hide. Romans 14:13. Do not give provision to the flesh so that it can do the desires of that it wants. I want this to be encouraging because I know as believers we don't want to live in sin. We don't want to, but sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it overcomes us. Sometimes it overtakes us. But I just say lift up the spear and point it at the thing and don't relent until it's gone. Pursue God. Follow after peace. Follow after righteousness and see what kind of impact that can make in your life. So we're just like Joshua. We are. We're just like we're going into a new territory by faith. It says in Joshua chapter 3, when they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River, it says, you have not gone this way before. And we could say that now. We could say that of this time. We have not gone this way before with a global pandemic and whatever is happening. But we do have a God who's gone before us, long before us, and He is faithful. And He is calling us and He is saying to us, don't put down the spear. Don't draw your hand back. Be engaged with the promises of God and lean on them and allow them to draw you into victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for doing a work in our hearts and build us up in your grace, we ask, Lord. Encourage us in the promises. Lord, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.